Welcome to We Are the Watchers.
This is episode 453, top of the day to you, Steph.
Top of the day to you.
It's one of those days where you're not quite sure if it's going to be, I don't know, like we're both in t-shirts, but not convinced.
Not convinced.
Yeah, it feels like it's going to be colder.
But I got thick tracky pants on.
Yeah, same. You've got slippers on as well.
I came really dressed.
Really dressed. I have to figure out the name of the movie that I watched because I watched it and then I've also been re-watching something.
You're just copying me.
Really?
Last night, do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
I was trying to figure out the name of what I watched and I couldn't be bothered to switch over the platforms because I was watching something else on something else and I wasn't going to switch over to find the name.
Do you often do the thing where you go, well, I know who was in it, so I'm going to look up that person?
Oh, yeah, sometimes.
Because it will often be, well, depending on if it's a new or old movie, it'll
That's
be one of their top.
That's a much smarter idea than trying to open up.
They're in the top.
You know, the streaming service on a different device and
hope for the best.
Yeah.
Well, I found it, so well done me.
Well done you.
Thank you.
First challenge done.
Got a quiz about an actress that we like, but I want to know how much you know about her.
Is her name Rose Byrne?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not much.
I don't know much.
Okay, fair enough. I reckon it's time to get into the...
watching. No. Just try again. News.
For a visual representation of this audio, check out the Watchers podcast on Instagram.
So similar thing happened
to you last week.
Yeah. All right. So we heard last week that Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, the Duke and Duchess of something or other, are going back to the UK.
They're moving back.
They're moving back. I wonder why.
I heard it referred to, not the moving back, but the moving away, was referred to as the Megxit.
That's really funny. Well, she might have a bit of work lined up when she gets there.
Well, that's why they're moving back, isn't it?
I guess so. Looks like she might be... in the third series, can't believe there's three, by the way, well, might be three, of The Gentleman. That's Guy Ritchie's series version of his movie, The Gentleman.
Yeah.
And it looks like she might be in it.
Cool.
Now, I say looks like because it hasn't officially been renewed yet, but word on the Netflix street is it will be.
Well, if Megs is moving back.
Exactly. And that's what the Deadline article is sort of implying. They're like, well... you've got Megan in there and people will be like, oh, is that why she's back? I'll watch it. And then the ratings.
I don't know if I will watch it because I haven't watched the first two series. So.
I feel like I've only watched the first one. It was good. I liked it. It was good. But I'd probably have to catch up. Well, they haven't even started making it yet, so I probably
could catch up.
I probably would beat them.
You could do it today.
All right. Well, at least I've got a plan. So that might be one reason why they're going back, or at least she's starting to line up some work to pay for, I don't know, the flights.
Economy's expensive these days.
So expensive. Michelle Pfeiffer, I don't want to shock you, but being an actress in Hollywood has been misquoted.
Oh,
so weird that would have happened.
Did someone put words in her mouth? I can't believe that.
This is the first time ever for anybody in the history of Hollywood. Apparently people have been saying, oh, you said that you would never want to star in another movie.
You know, here's the interesting thing about humans. They can change their mind.
What? That's
really weird. She did say that. She can change her mind.
It's just bizarre. Like,
your life changes. It evolves.
Oh, well, she, you know, even if she did say she never wanted to star in another movie, people have gone, she's retiring.
Mm.
That's the end.
I mean, I often say, I never want to go back to work again. And every Monday, there I am.
It's so weird the way that accidentally happens. She said, let me just, you know, hang on, everyone. Just relax. She said, and I quote, I never want to star in another movie, I swear to God. I only want to do ensemble pieces. That's what she said.
Okay.
So now she's having to say, no, I said I didn't want to be the star of a movie of just me.
You missed a word. I mean, she could have said, I never want to be in a bad movie again.
Oh, okay. She said, all that I said was that I really love working in an ensemble cast.
Yeah. Heaven forbid I enjoy working with good people.
She said, who would have thought I'd get into trouble for saying that? Oh, so funny.
You know it's a slow news day.
Yeah, when you're talking about Michelle Pfeiffer talking about that.
I mean, not for us, because that's totally up our alley.
That's exactly our story.
Yeah, we don't care about other things, but that we enjoy ridiculing.
Absolutely brilliant. Now, we knew that, gosh, I don't know how long ago. It was a while ago that Amazon, I think it's Amazon and, well, it's definitely Sony, are teaming up to do a live action version of God of War, which is the PlayStation game God of War. And they had cast Ryan Hurst. They were like, yes, this is Ryan Hurst. He's going to be Kratos. This is going to be amazing. Everyone was like, oh, wow, okay. We know who it's going to be. But then he suffered a bicep tear.
Ow, that doesn't sound common.
Whilst filming. And now he can't do it.
At all.
He can't do it. They've recast it.
Terrible, isn't it?
I know. She's absolutely beside herself with anger. She's a massive Ryan Hurst fan. Anyway, Dave Bautista has been cast, which means Ryan's definitely 100% out. Dave Bautista will be Kratos. And I can kind of see it. I actually think that that's – when they said Ryan Hurst, I was like, that guy from Stuff, he was Beta in The Walking Dead. He was one of the Whisperers. I just couldn't quite see him. I was like, but you know what? He's an actor. He could probably get dressed up, do a bit of exercise, which is obviously what he was trying to do, beef himself up, and then he would be the God of War. But Dave Bautista, you could just picture him. You could just picture him being that. So I don't know. Well, I guess we'll have to wait till next year. They're saying that it's delayed production until next year. I'm fine with that. There's plenty of time for all of that.
Glad you're fine with it.
Yeah. Sorry, Dave. So, not Dave's fine. Sorry, Ryan. Well, that sucks. Should we get into some, now I can say it, watching suggestions?
Yeah.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
So I watched, what was it on? I think it was on HBO. I watched the drama. Do you remember that was advertised not long ago? It was Zendaya and Robert Pattinson.
Yeah. Is it a movie?
It's a movie. Yeah.
And yeah, I do remember it being advertised.
It sort of starts off as what you think is going to be like a rom-com. But then everybody gets drunk, like them and I think two, maybe three other friends, and they're all like, come on, let's talk about the worst thing that we've ever done.
Oh, good. Sounds great.
And they all sort of go, you know, when I was a teenager, I did this. And everyone's like, oh, my God, that's really bad. And then I don't want to give it away, but she said something and they were all like, oh, my God, I can't believe you did that. It's like, come on, guys, come on. Anyway, it seeps into the relationship of the couple. It seeps into the relationship of the friends.
Is it really bad, the thing that she said?
Well, it was really bad what she had intended to do but decided not to go through it at the age of about 14 or 15. And as an adult now who had turned her life around and made decisions based on that decision, her friends just would not forgive her. It was really interesting the way that friendships – The way that different relationships go depending on different people. But it all just went crazy. It was an interesting movie, particularly because I didn't think it was going to be like that. You know what I mean? Yeah, it was HBO. It was HBO. That's where I found it.
Was it dark?
So I would say it wasn't a rom-com at all. I would say that just because of the subject matter, it was dark. There were some quirky moments in it in that Robert Pattinson kept imagining her in these weird setups as a result of what she had disclosed to them, confessed. Whoa. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was interesting. I thought at first it was set in the UK, but no, I think it was set in America.
Yeah.
It's just that he had an English accent, she didn't. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
They're in England. Didn't pay much attention, obviously, to anything else. This is definitely England. And all of her friends who just happened to live there as well, they're American. Then I went, I've got it round the wrong way. All right, what have you been watching?
So I watched I'm going to call it a docu-series on Stan because it didn't feel like a documentary, but more a docu-series. Okay, a docu-series. I don't know the exact classifications, but I'm going to classify it as that. It's an Australian production, and it's about the social media content creator, because I don't think we call people influencers anymore.
Oh, I didn't know.
I feel like they now want to be content creators.
They're not really influencing anyone, are they? They're just having people watch them.
I mean, I think if you're making money from it, with brand deals, then you are an influencer, right? So potentially she is an influencer, whatever. She has her own business. Her name's Bridie Drake, and I feel like the younger generation would know her very, very, very well. She has a pajama brand called Night Sweet Thing that she started when she was a teenager, maybe before she finished school, like really, really young, and it's now a multi-million dollar business. They do one-off sort of collections, and once they sell out, they sell out. They don't redo that one again with, you know, artworks from local talents, that sort of thing. So she's got it going on. She employs her entire family, but on top of all of that, her social media kicked off so much that she won. Now, I might get these awards wrong. They're pretty big awards, but I think she won TikToker of the Year.
Oh, yeah.
The Actor Award, as in ACCTA, the Australian Acting Awards. They branch their awards out into small screen, handheld screens, and she won that Personality of the Year. So she's huge. She's really, really big. And she has started a docuseries that she self-funded, has her whole family starring in it, picked the director, all of that, and it's called Pure Average on Stan. And it is essentially about you can be just this person who is absolutely pure average, didn't get good marks in school, isn't, you know, catwalk beautiful, isn't tall, doesn't come from a super rich family or an amazing suburb, just like all of us, pure average, and look what you can do if you set your mind on it and you don't give up on yourself. It has the markings of a good documentary, but it also has this feel of really amateurish.
Oh, really?
And maybe that's intentional, being that it is pure average and they didn't want to be like a Netflix.
It's a good name.
Yeah. They all kind of overact just a little bit in the first episode, but I feel like as filming goes on, a bit nervous, they relax and they just become a little bit more like themselves. If you're interested in just finding out how different people do things and how you can be, I guess, an entrepreneur, a business success from absolutely nothing, this would be really interesting to you. If you are a Bridie Drake fan, you would really like this docuseries.
I just think the internet has done some, I mean, incredibly and crazy and terrible or whatever things, but it has fractured celebrity so much.
Yes.
Like you think back to, you know, I'm trying to think when it would have started from, like the 40s, 50s maybe, where people would learn about famous celebrities, actors or performers in magazines and at the movies. Yeah. And that's how they would see
Old Hollywood.
And you would, you know, you'd pick up your TV hits in the 90s, and that's how you would learn who people are, who the singers are. You'd listen to it on the radio.
Well, that's how paparazzi became.
They were such a big thing.
Billion-dollar industry.
Now you've got people like Bridie.
Yes.
Okay, you've got people like Bridie. I have never heard of her. She's obviously got a massive following, so much so that she's made a documentary and it's been sold to Stan or made for Stan. She's got an empire to herself, and she's Australian, and I've never heard of her.
I only happened to find her just on my reels, and it had nothing to do with her business. It was just her kind of being fun, kind of cooking a few things and talking about how incredible her best friend is, who is also a TikTok influencer. But interestingly enough, neither of them, while they would have very successful social media accounts, neither of them act like that in their content, which I think gives you this feeling of, oh, they are a normal person. You know, they're doing kind of cool things, but they're actually just a normal person.
Pure Average. Such a good name, honestly. Yeah. I think this is one of the best names.
Yeah.
Another name I really love is Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Love it.
Unbreakable. I've been singing that song for the past week. I cannot get it out of my head again. When we first watched it, I feel like it was one of the first shows that we watched when Netflix came to Australia. I think so. It was around that time. And coming back to it, it was big.
Yeah.
Coming back to it, so funny. It's still great. Titus is just one of the most hilarious characters you could ever have on a screen. The way that he tries to get out of paying back his landlady, he's pretending he's broke, but he's got money.
Yeah.
And he's got enough money to go and get new headshots, but he doesn't want to give her the money that he owes her because then he can't get the headshots.
Yeah.
She sees him in a suit, like all dressed up, and she's like, that looks like something that a rich person would be wearing. And he's like, no, I'm poor. I'm going to my best friend's funeral. She's like, oh, you need support. I'll go with you. He's like, oh, God. Anyway.
That backfired.
Just randomly shows up at a cemetery where the random funeral is happening for an elderly Korean man. He's pretending to be this guy's friend and decides and then a microphone pops out of his jacket and she's like, what's that for? And he goes, oh, I wanted to sing his favorite song. So
why would you say that?
I don't know.
Why?
So as they're there and everyone's having like a moment of silence or something like that, he steps in because she's like, well, you should sing the song now.
Yeah. So you need to do it for your bestie.
I can't remember the first few lines, but he just picks a Boys to Men song, but he picks the wrong one. And then he's singing, I'll make love to you. Everyone's like, what?
I always think of those kind of shows, sitting so in the funny. Writer's room and just coming up with the most ridiculous thing. Being
as random as possible.
You can do whatever you want. Like, it's going to be hilarious.
It has to have been one of the most enjoyable jobs that those writers have done.
Surely. Like, so funny. Which is the most inappropriate song that you could sing at a funeral of someone you don't know?
Don't know who they are. And talking about, you know, the fracturing of celebrity and whatnot, the same thing has happened with streaming and Netflix, for example. They have these shows that have 1 to 4 seasons.
Yep.
And then you move on to the next thing, so much so that things like Kimmy Schmidt just get forgotten about.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the stuff between Kimmy Schmidt and now are completely forgotten about.
Yep, true.
You could start re-watching something and not be sure that you've watched it until maybe the second episode now.
That's often.
Yeah.
I mean, you're if like, it's a movie to rewatch at the end that I go, yeah. Oh, actually, I've seen this.
I still remember re-watching, I think it was called The Bounty or something like that with Gerard Butler.
Oh, and Jennifer Aniston.
Jennifer Aniston halfway through and I was like, I've seen this at the movies. And there was this one part, it wasn't even an exciting part. Like there was action and stuff and it was just this one bit where they're at like this B&B and I'm like, oh, I've seen this. Ridiculous.
But yet you go back trying to look for something that was so
can't
funny.
Find it. Can't
find
exist.
It. Like the other vacation movie. Do you remember that one with
gosh,
the car
it was a
with
great
the chair?
Movie. I would
rotated.
Rewatch
we couldn't
them.
Find it again.
Oh, that was such a good movie. Yeah, I can't even remember what we watched it on, and whatever it wasn't on there again.
No, gone.
Far out. Okay, what else have you watched?
Right, completely different to Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Okay.
I watched on Amazon Prime, a documentary, not a docuseries, a documentary called Murder 101. Now, if you are a true crime buff, you probably would love it. But even if you're not, I think you would find this really interesting because it's not necessarily about the true crime. But in, I don't know if you can say Outback Tennessee. What would you say instead of Outback?
Rural
Tennessee. There's a case that's haunted detectives there for decades and decades. And I think.
Okay, you said haunted a case. So in my head now, there's one of those manila folders that looks like it's wearing a white sheet chasing detectives down hallways, kind of like Ghostbusters.
So if it's wearing a white sheet, librarian. How do you know it's a manila folder?
Because it's the shape. Obviously.
Can be like one of those white folders.
Don't white you ones. Know?
those bright purple envelope.
No, it would never be one of those.
Never be one of those. Actually, it could be, and that's
why probably
it's
better. Actually,
that's why accent. People they can't put figure the it out in for decades. But like, just lift the sheet.
Oh.
However, we digress. Funny that.
What?
Murder 101 is a 3-part crime doco series. It's brand new, and what it does is, while in rural Tennessee, there is this case that they have named the Redhead Murders, and they've never been able to figure out who it is. A sociology teacher in a high school, I guess high school, don't know that you talk about murders in a middle school, would you? So let's call it high school.
Okay, yep.
This sociology teacher, Alex Campbell, and his students, in their sociology class, rather than just looking at sociology as a whole, he takes this case, and over years and years and years, he presents this class where they try to solve this crime. Really clever and fun for them. And they have to learn about, you know, what different terms are, you know, the Freedom of Information Act that they have in the States. And he makes the kids call up, you know, those.
Hello, Freedom of Information Act speaking.
I would like some information under the Freedom of Information Act. He makes them, you know, talk to the council, talk to detectives, talk to all of that to try and gain the information. And his whole point is, you're not trying to catch a killer. While he doesn't use those words, but that's not what this class is about, is catching killer. The whole class is about, how can you help people? And is this a way that you can help people, whether they're alive or dead, or it was 40 years ago? Can you do something for somebody else in a way that they wouldn't be able to do it themselves?
Interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
That's a good angle. I like that one.
Really interesting. They have to try and communicate with victims who might not want to be communicated with, but they have to explain their story and what they're trying to do and who they are. Interestingly enough, a lot of the kids have crime in their own backgrounds.
Oh, okay.
So it's an interesting way for them to kind of go, oh, hang on. Well, I'm a victim. They're a victim. I've got means and resources and help and support behind me. How can I help somebody else? It's so cool.
That's
cool.
That's a good story.
I really think this teacher is incredible.
Yeah, it's a good angle to pitch it as well.
Yeah.
Okay. What was it called again?
Murder 101 on Prime.
Okay. Do you want to get into a quiz?
Yeah, 100%.
So your quiz is obviously about one of your favouritest actresses ever. Your favourite actress, of course, is Michelle Pfeiffer.
I love her.
Yeah. So we've got 6 questions. Some of them start off like a little bit, you know, here are some facts about her, and then I just got stuck on IMDb. Is that okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, great. Fantastic. Which US state was she born in?
Oh, one of them. I'm going to say Massachusetts.
It's California. Oh. Santa Ana, California. Okay. California.
I couldn't have been further away.
Do you think that everybody in California says California the way that they did in that song? California.
Same as everybody in rural Tennessee says. I live in rural Tennessee.
Who's she married to?
Oh, no.
Yeah, I would be exactly the same, because I was like, I know that she's married to someone in the industry who's not an actor.
Is he a director?
Yeah, I think so, or like a producer or creator thing. Yeah. Do you need a – what do you want?
Initials.
D-E-K.
David E. Kelly.
Oh, yep. You are incredible.
I knew it.
That was incredible.
I didn't need the E or the K.
I wouldn't have gotten it from that. That's so good. What book did you borrow from the library that I took on a trip to Tasmania?
Yep, got it.
And okay.
Margot's Got Money Problems. I borrowed that for you and I said, it sounds a bit odd.
Give it a go.
But I've heard good things. Yeah. Give it a go.
Yeah.
And you did. And then I gave it a go.
And then they were like, we should make a show about it.
But we're going to put it on Apple TV, which you don't have, so you can't watch it.
But it's fine because the library said we could read it for free.
You can read it again if you'd like.
Okay.
It's a really good thing about a book. Start again.
Second verse, same as the first. How many Marvel movies has she been in?
I don't know. Zero? Five, four, three. I don't. Four.
Three. Oh, of course.
I got that right on my fourth guess.
Of course she was in Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Of course she was.
Of course she was in Avengers Endgame.
I mean, you could talk about, like, Hairspray.
Yeah, but that wasn't a Marvel movie.
Yeah, but, like, why go Marvel when you could go singing one?
I thought it'd be funny because you wouldn't know. And, of course,
and that I didn't.
Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania.
Mm.
Yep. What year did Grease 2 come out? 1982.
Oh.
I understand why it's difficult for you to say that because we refused to watch it because it didn't have Olivia Newton-John.
It's really true.
And I don't think I've seen it.
I haven't seen it either because I refused. What do you mean the favourite person's not in it? I'm not doing it.
What do you mean they're not singing the same songs?
What do you mean they're not singing the same songs again? It's like Frozen 2. Why would you watch it?
What's the point?
Does she sing Let It Go?
I'm not watching it. Get stuffed. Okay, in our favourite movie, The Fabulous Baker Boys, what was her character's name, Susie or Marie?
Did you say our favourite movie?
Yeah, we've never seen it.
Yeah. Okay, I'm Susie.
Yes! Congratulations, you are officially the Michelle Pfeiffer number one fan.
Yes!
I hope she does another Christmas movie. That would be fun.
That she stars in it.
Me too. On that note, Stephanie, thank you very much.
You're welcome.